Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out tonight. And so tonight we're going to look at a passage from the 2 Kings, and it's chapter 5. So 2 Kings, chapter 5. So I'm going to read the story in a little bit, but before I do that, I just wanted to give a little bit, you know, some introductions. And so this passage talks about Naaman. And we're going to see that who Naaman was, and we're going to see that he had a problem. He had an issue, and that he was seeking a cure. And we are... we'll see that God used someone that he knew. He used a young girl that she actually was a maid in his household. And as we'll see later on, we'll see that this girl really had a great impact in his life. And and we'll see what Naaman did to seek this cure. And along the way, we'll see some friends of, Naaman's servants, and that went with him in his journey, and how they gave Naaman some encouragement along the way, and in the end, we'll see how he responded in faith to this. And so, while I was preparing, I really couldn't help but just you know, think of some of my, you know, difficulties that I'm going through and I've went through, and, you know, thinking of our chapel, some individuals that are going through some difficult times, some physical illnesses, and some spiritual battles, and, you know, relation hardships, and perhaps other ways, you know, that we suffer. But in all this, we know that the Lord is present with us, and He gives us hope, and is present with us. And so yeah, this story, it's like a story of hope and faith. And even though we'll see that Naaman was a victorious, you know, wealthy, you know, person, he was suffering. And we'll see that the God really reveals himself to him. And so I'll start by reading verse 1. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with a prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." So, so the background here is that there are two kingdoms mentioned in this passage, and one is the kingdom of Syria, and the other is the kingdom of Israel. And if we look through especially the book of Kings, the first and second king, we see that these two kingdoms, these two kings and kingdoms were not in good terms. They had battles and you know, wars between each other. And and we see that Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. And and even though he had all these great things going on here for him, honorable man, victorious, mighty man of valor, he was a leper, and he had leprosy. So, we know leprosy. It's, you know, the skin condition. I'm not sure to what degree his was, but you know, it was not always a case where, you know, your flesh was falling off, and but I'm sure it was visible to others, as we can understand from this passage. And the prophet that it's mentioned here, it's Elisha. Elisha, he's in Israel, in Samaria. So in one of the raids that Syrians had, gone to, they have brought back this. We see that they had brought back this young girl that was serving as a serving at Naaman's wife. And I don't know in other passages, but I didn't find much, you know, being talked about this young girl. But what I can put together and understand is that she's showing some care and compassion for Naaman. I mean, you know, in verse 3, she's saying, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him, of his leprosy." And you know, thinking of her, you know, and her condition that she was, you know, captive, serving the enemy right now, away from her family. You would imagine her life that she knows. She, regardless of this, she is sharing her faith and what she believes, and this kind of made me think a little bit of myself about, you know, I would actually like to read a verse at Psalms 46, Psalm 46, and verse 1. Says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And you know, I don't know if I always believe that, or if we always believe that. You know, especially if we're going through hard times. And but it looks like this young girl believes it, it was a reminder, at least for me, that, you know, to share my faith and the Lord that I trust, you know, with others. And we'll see that in this case, it had a really profound impact in Naaman's life. So I'll read verses 4-8 now. And Naaman went and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you might heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, and that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider that and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." And so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." And I found this kind of funny that, you know, this commander of a rather large army, you know, he's actually listening to this young girl suggestion. You would wonder what kind of expectations Naaman had in all this, what kind of hopes he had. It'll make total sense if he didn't have any hopes at all or any expectations that he would get healed. But You know, considering that he was this, you know, this man of in power, he probably, and wealthy, he probably had tried everything that he possibly could to find a remedy for his condition. And but anyway, he listens, and he's taking this chance and thinking that maybe there is a cure. So he starts preparing for this trip, and so preparing for this trip, he took all these gifts, 10 talents of silver and shekels of gold. And now I didn't do the math, you know, what this would convert to our days, you know, how much this would be, but looks like it's a lot. Looks like it's a lot, you know. You can tell it's not just some flip-flops and socks that he's taking with him and plastic bags, you know. It's gold and silver, and probably the clothing could be royal clothing too. So I did some little reading on this, and found out that this was actually like a custom thing back in those days when somebody was seeking a cure for their sickness. This was a way of payment, or when another passage said that when a head of state met another one, they always kind of exchanged this kind of gift. So I thought I'll mention this. But it's good to keep in mind that he is going to an enemy territory. This is not, he's going to Samaria. He's, you know, they're not in good terms. So this must have been probably tough for him. But no matter what he thought about the outcome of this, you know, this trip, he acted in faith. We'll see that he has some little faith and going with it. So this kind of made me think that, you know, if, you know, does my faith motivate me always, or always make actions or to take actions? Does my faith motivate me to take actions? And we'll look at a couple of other verses in James, chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and it's verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And verse 22 says, I'll read actually from the end of verse 19. Even the demons believe that and tremble, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without work is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And verse 22, it's kind of what I wanted to focus a little bit more. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? So just a simple thought that I had after this was that, you know, if Naaman didn't really go, he would have not been healed, as we'll see. We'll go to verse 9. And verse 9 says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over my place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana or Abana and the Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean?'" So after coming all this way with his gifts, he arrives at prophet's house, and as we read, he was expecting this miracle. And what happens is that the prophet doesn't even come out to see him. He doesn't come out to meet him. He sends a messenger. And thinking of Naaman, you know, this great commander, you would think that he somehow was probably used to getting respect from people, right? You know, his letters or phone calls always turn letters or whatever. This was not the case. This man of God, this prophet, didn't even come out to see him. And you would think that, you know, this must have been a very, very humbling experience to him. And this brought to mind another verse, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And this, yeah, must have been an humbling experience for him. And Elisha's messenger is saying that Naaman has to do something to be healed, and he had to go and wash in the Jordan River, and his skin would be restored. And we see Naaman that he is kind of upset about this, and somehow I would understand that he would be upset about this. Verse 11. Naaman became furious, went away indeed, and said to myself, "He will surely come out to me and complaining about the waters, the lake, I mean not lake, the river, why that river, we have our rivers that have cleaner water." So he turned out and went away in rage. Naaman was expecting this great healing experience, you know, that the prophet will come and wave his hand over him, but it didn't happen. I was thinking about myself. While I was studying this, I was always comparing, you know, the situations to me, like how acted like Naaman, or do I still act like Naaman in front of God? You know, do I get angry or upset at the Lord when he doesn't give me what I expect him, what I pray for? And, you know, many times I have good intentions, and we all have good intentions when we pray, or when we ask for something. And we see that some people are clearly suffering, and when we trust that the Lord hears us, but it's just things they're not moving, you know, the way we want them to go. This brought the question, like, why is this happening sometimes? And, you know, many times I say I don't know, but I know that, you know, in his word, God tells us that Isaiah 55, it's a very, very famous passage, 55 verse 8 says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. Higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I had something, another comment about this, but I forgot it. So I'll move on, and I'll move on. And I like how the story continues that, you know, that Naaman was not alone in this journey. And we see that he had this entourage, but I will call that his friends, but because they really acted like friends that really wanted the best for him. And and even though when Naaman was having this little attitude, his friends actually gave him some good advice, and they didn't, you know, stick with Naaman and what he was thinking at that time. But you know, they didn't say, "Oh yeah, let's get back. You know, let's take our gifts and go back home." But no, they said, "Naaman, give it a shot." And we see at verse 13 that says, "And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?'" So they were simply saying, "Naaman, go there and give it a shot. Give it a shot." There was some good encouragement. And you know, I'm very encouraged tonight too to see, you know, you coming out and, you know, some of my family who doesn't usually come, you know, to this Sunday night's evenings, but I do appreciate them being here and you know, supporting me and, you know, this Sunday night's evening. So that's what, you know, the Lord tells us in, you know, to do in his word. I mean, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are supposed to encourage one another. We sing it at Sunday school almost every Sunday. Encourage one another and build each other up, right? Up, 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 up. So yeah, we'll see Naaman's friends. They are not nitpicking, you know, the words of the prophet, his orders. So why seven times? Why this? Why that? They're just keeping it simple. Naaman, obey, you know, go give it a shot. And yeah, this was a good reminder for me just to, as, you know, as Christians, as believers, as a family here, you know, to encourage one another and, you know, thinking that there is so much discouragement out there in the world. So, and Jordan River. So we are familiar, we know some stuff about Jordan River. In the New Testament, we read that many believers were baptized there by John the Baptist, and Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River as well. So, and I did some little reading online, and so Jordan River, it was about 130 miles or so long and muddy river, and read that many people had the notion that was kind of dirty and river, and made me think about, you know, we have maybe some dirty rivers going on around our town, our city. Behind my work, actually, I have a little river going by, and the other day I was there and I was like, yeah, I wonder what this would be like to tell somebody that has a skin issue, go there and, you know, dip 5-6 times. You might go in with one issue, come out with 5, or die, who knows. So, but yeah, many miracles were performed in Jordan River. So yeah, so we'll read this last verses, 14 to 17. "So he went down and dipped 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, there before whom I stand, I will receive nothing.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, 'Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifices or sacrifice to other gods but the Lord. And so in these verses, I see Naaman doing what the Lord told him to do through the prophet, regardless of how he felt. I mean, he was upset. We saw it. He was upset. He was maybe had doubts, and but regardless how he felt, even though he must have not had this solid faith that yes, the prophet said it, I'll go be healed, he still went, so whatever he was told, he did it regardless. And so he did show some kind of faith here. I think that somehow, this is what is to be faithful, to do something that even though you feel different about it, you do it regardless. And the Lord wants that from us, to be faithful, and so he can work through us that way. This does that mean that, when we suffer, we're going to get healed just like that? Maybe not. But I thought about Apostle Paul when he had this thorn in his flesh, and he prayed and he pleaded with the Lord 3 times. That this thorn will be removed. And what did the Lord tell him? He told him that my grace is sufficient for you. And in other cases, God does heal people, and that's amazing when that happens. But the point that I want to make is that are we being faithful to the Lord, what he expects from us? And that could be like what? And there are many areas. The Lord wants us to not to worry, but he wants us to pray about everything. And the question is that, do I do that? Do we do that faithfully? And he has given a spouse, family. Are we being faithful to them? And I don't mean just fidelity, but there are other ways that the Lord really requires our faithfulness, and treating them right, and many other things. But our job could be one. Thinking that, in our days, to have a job, it's a blessing, and probably we all have that co-worker or two that feel that they're cursed, that they have to come to work, and work, it's a blessing. And think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, they worked there, and so are we being faithful there in that direction? And So we see here that Naaman's faith comes to fruition, and even though he was suffering, fruition. While I was preparing, I learned a few fancy words here. Fruition is one of them. Fruition. But we see that God worked in him through other people, and what was the outcome? He was healed, which was great. But more than that, really, I think God really got his attention. And we see Naaman now. He has a relationship with God. And I'll read again verse 15 and 17, which says, "And he returned to the man of God and all his aides and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant.'" And the end of verse 17, Naaman continues and says, "I will no longer offer either a burnt offering or sacrifice to other God, but to the Lord. And our God wants to be known, and he does desire a relationship because he loves us. He loves you and me. And even though you don't understand this in full, and the Lord really wants you to trust him. And, you know, that could be tough, and it is tough, but we see it here that, you know, God worked in, you know, through so many people to, you know, to get Naaman's attention and have this relationship with him, and he loves just as much to have this relationship with you and me. And why I had most of the stuff written down, I just wanted to share something from heart. You know, if you are here tonight and, you know, you don't know the Lord Jesus, you know, this story, it's really a good picture of humankind. You know, humankind, we're born into this world with this condition that is called sin. Just like Naaman had this leprosy, you know, that's a good picture of our condition, that our sin the only way to have your sins forgiven is to go to the cross of Jesus. Naaman found healing in this Jordan River, but our Jordan River today, it's the Christ, that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary. And you know, that's something, just like we see here, that he couldn't purchase his healing. That's the same it was the same for us, and the same for you if you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus, that you just can't buy it. That's a gift of God. It's not by works, but it's only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. I'll probably end here. So, yeah, can we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you again for this evening to be able to open up your word here together. And we thank you for this passage of Naaman this passage of hope and faith. And Lord, we pray that this would have been a little encouragement for us tonight to take and to think that, Lord, you are always present in our life. And through difficulties, through hard times, and we have so many things to rejoice and give thanks to you, Lord, too. And we thank you that one day you've revealed us your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we have put our trust in him for the redeeming of our sins. And we are grateful for that, and we pray for anyone that here this evening that hasn't made that profession, it's not secure where he's standing with the Lord. Lord, we pray that you would encourage them to continue to seek you and trust in you and for the forgiveness of sin. And you know that you would work in their lives and hearts to do this. And we're grateful again for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Aldo.
If you could turn to hymn 305.